And welcome to Focus on the Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with me today, communications specialist Tony Prado with the Blood Bank of Delmarva. I almost got the name wrong.
No, it's great to be here, Laura. Thanks for having us. Always good to see you. One of our O negative hotshot donors.
I love to give blood. I know that sounds stupid to say, but it makes you feel good. It's a wonderful feeling to be able to do something that has such great ramifications, and it's so simple. We're going to talk about that. But you spend maybe an hour, hour and a half, if you're greedy, eating more cookies than you should, and you can save two or three lives just by doing that. It's a special feeling. And so we're talking today. We've got a blood drive coming up, actually, this coming Tuesday with WJBR. You want to tell us where that is and what times and all?
Yeah, we're so excited, as you said, to partner once again with WJBR and Beasley for the Your Someone's Type blood drive. And it's going to be on Valentine's Day. Last year, it was a couple of days before Valentine's Day. This year, we said, let's go ahead and have it on Valentine's Day itself. From 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., we're going to be at the Tallyville Fire Company right off Concord Pike in North Wilmington, Delaware. And this is the second annual Your Someone's Type blood drive. And we're really excited about it. It's something that is needed, vitally needed. And it's also, in our humble opinion, a romantic way to spend a day. I got to tell you, I have met couples donating blood together, actually, Laura, no kidding. And the latest one was in late January. We had our Ocean City blood drive, and I met a young couple, young, handsome couple, John Rigo and Crystal Collins. And they told me they were on their fourth or fifth date donating blood. And it was wonderful to see. I took their picture. It's going to be on our Facebook page on Valentine's Day, I believe. And who would have thought that there's a romantic aspect to donating blood? But here we are. And like I said, this is going to be the second annual blood drive with WJBR. And we're just so thankful for that.
You know, usually when we talk, it's because you are in crisis mode. And this past year, the last year and a half, has seen blood banks all across the country just hit hard by lack of donors. And do you want to talk a little bit about how are you doing right now?
So the good news is right now, it is not critical. There's not a critical need. There's not an emergency right now, per se. I was thinking of looking at the numbers this morning, Laura. And so O positive, which is the most common blood type in America, and also the one most in demand at hospitals, is in good shape. It's close to that 7-day inventory level that we want, ideally. O negative, such as yourself, is right now, I believe, our second priority in terms of trying to get people to come in. No, I take that back. It's our number one priority in trying to get people to come in, because right now it's at 4 days. We'd like it to be at 7 days, but it's at 4 days, which it's not great, but it's not bad either. So in answer to your question, it's not critical right now, but we always got to try to stay a step ahead so that we don't get to the point where all of a sudden we find ourselves in crisis mode. So the top three needs right now are O negative, followed by O positive and B negative. And I say O positive only because we know from the ordering habits of hospitals, tomorrow we could lose it. We could lose 2 days just like that. And so we're always trying to keep people who are type O in general to be mindful of donating blood, because you guys are really needed. And, you know, there's also other needs as well. B negative is right now the one of the priorities. That's my blood type, but I'm not eligible to give until February 23rd because I usually do double red. And A negative and A positive are also some of the types we're always after.
We talk about 7-day supply. When you get a unit of blood, when somebody walks in and gives a pint, how long do those products actually last in your, you know, in your warehouse there?
Yeah. So if you give whole blood, we're going to separate that in the lab, in the centrifuge, into red cells and plasma. The plasma can be frozen and be stored for a year. But the red cells, they're going to be refrigerated in some saline solution. They call them packed red cells. They can last for up to 42 days. I can tell you, from where I stand, they don't last 42 days. They're usually gone out the door within a week. So it's usually not an issue in terms of, you know, blood is a perishable product, but because the demand is such that it's constantly moving, you know, this kind of revolving door. Platelets are the biggest challenge because They are vitally needed for cancer patients and other people, you know, like who are in emergency surgeries and whatnot. They only last for 5 days. And it's also the most demanding donation because it can take 2.5 hours to collect those platelets. You can't refrigerate them, otherwise you kill their existence, their reason for existing, which is the clotting factor. So we got to keep them in room temperature, and they only last for 5 days, like I said. And that's basically the long and short of it in terms of how much the blood products last. It's a perishable product, and we got to keep people coming in. It's one of those things where we can't. We're nowhere close, scientifically speaking, to manufacturing blood in the laboratory. It has to come from the generosity of donors like yourself. I want to go back to your earlier point about, you know, just feeling good about donating blood. I mean, there's a physiological aspect to that, as well as a mental aspect to it, in that, yes, you're going to feel good about donating blood and knowing that you're helping someone. You're going to save lives potentially, but you'll see a list of, you know, side effects, so if you will, in the canteen when you're sitting there enjoying your juice and cookies, which is the best part, right? And I'm with you. I'm not shy about the snacks. I'll have cookies, chips, pretzels. You know, I got to replenish my body after donating blood. But there's also a physiological aspect. It'll say there that you're going to have a general feeling of contentment after donating blood. Now, I'm not a scientist. Don't ask me why you feel that way, but it's a fact. So yeah, you try to get creative in trying to get people to come in, and you're someone's type. Blood drive is one of those creative ideas that we had with WJBR to get people to come in. It's going to be on Valentine's Day. And I mean, there's going to be t-shirts and, you know, speaking of incentives. And so hopefully we'll get the, you know, close to 100 donors that we got last year.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned cancer patients. It's, you sent me before the show, you sent me some factoids here, and that every 2 seconds, someone in the U.S. needs blood. And we always think it is that accident, that trauma. But there's also the people who need it on a long-term basis, and that you mentioned people with cancer. There are also burn patients who could, over the course of months and months of treatment, require just enormous amounts of blood. And then there's also chronic diseases that require a lot of blood too, like sickle cell anemia.
Yeah, that's absolutely true, Laura. Here on the Delmarva Peninsula, we try to get 350 people to donate a day. We don't always get there, but if we get 250, that's not bad. Because when you're looking at 19 hospitals, locally speaking, in Delmarva, you are dealing with cancer patients. That's some of our biggest patients in terms of the transfusions needed. They're undergoing chemotherapy and radiation, which often kills their platelets, and we need to replace those platelets. It can also have an adverse effect on their red cells. Red cells are actually the most transfused product in hospitals. And so whether it's platelets or red cells, that's going to help an inordinate amount of people who are cancer patients in the blood banking world. As you mentioned, you're going to have your trauma victims, whether it's a bad car accident on I-95 or some other accident where the person has hemorrhaged, you know, they've lost a lot of blood, and we just need to replace that. That is also a factor. And that's where O negative donors like yourself come into play, because if somebody is brought in via helicopter or the ambulance and we don't know their blood type, the hospital can transfuse O negative, which is the universal donor. And that's where you guys shine. And they should have the red carpet ready for you on Tuesday, if I had my druthers, Laura. And, you know, burn patients are also another class of people that can benefit from transfusions, whether it's red cells or particularly plasma. Plasma has been beneficial because plasma in and of itself has clotting factors as well that help people with severe burns. And plasma also, for those trauma patients, if they're losing a lot of blood, that can also, in an emergency, help increase the volume of your blood in a pinch. And like we said, you know, platelets, that can help somebody in surgery who, for unforeseen reasons, starts to bleed. The platelets infused into that person can help stop the bleeding. So the reasons are various and sundry for people needing blood products in the hospital. And our job is to just make sure that the hospital, when they order the products they need, we'll get them to them, whether it's a regular run-of-the-mill day or an emergency situation.
You said 350 a day is what you want. That's the target. You want 350. Well, you can't give every day, but not everybody's going to give. So who should step up and join that group that comes in and gives when they can?
Well, it's a great question, Laura, because it's a riddle that we are trying to figure out. Our colleagues at America's Blood Centers has determined that 62% of the U.S. population is eligible to give blood. The problem is only 3% of that group actually comes in and donates blood. I came across a statistic the other day that the average donor gives about 2 times or 1.6 times a year. And juxtapose that with some of our donors who are in here like clockwork, and they're doing a yeoman's job. They're in here every 56 days to donate whole blood. They're in here every 2 weeks to donate platelets, or they're in here every 112 days to donate double red cells, which is a very important product. And we are trying to expand our universe. We're trying to bring in more people. Because like I said, 62% of the population can donate, but only 3% of them actually do. That's quite a gap. So how do we reach those people? And hopefully when someone hears a program like this, it might inspire them. I was inspired a couple weeks ago in Ocean City, Maryland, at the number of young and first-time donors that I met. You know, they took it upon themselves to come in and donate blood. It was a goal of theirs, and they did it. And it was lovely to see them come in and do that. And it's sometimes as simple as one of their parents or grandparents or an uncle inspired them because that person was a donor and ended up setting a good example for the young people who, by the way, that's a demographic we're trying to target, 17 to 35 year olds. We need you to come in. Think of it as a farm system for a ball club. We need to make sure that we have donors for the future. And that's the name of the game. How do we get more people to come in and bridge that gap? I would also add, there's another group we're after in light of Black History Month. When you look at the African-American population in the state of Delaware, they're 22.5%, according to the U.S. Census. And when you look at the percentage of donors they comprise here at the Blood Bank of Delaware, you're talking about 5%. So there's a lot of potential there to bridge that gap. And wonderful things can happen, if we see more people as a whole and, you know, whether it's a subgroup here or there or just people in general to come in, we might solve this riddle where, as we talked about earlier, these blood shortages pop up from time to time.
Well, when you mention the diversity of donors, it's because there's a diversity of patients needing blood, too. And someone who does have a chronic illness, I know sickle cell anemia, we have talked about this in the past. If you're getting blood product for year after year after year, you need more and more closely matched blood. And that's a real problem if they don't have somebody like themselves in the pool to donate.
Yeah, you're right, Laura. I mean, if you look, again, America's Blood Centers, which is a national organization that we belong to, as most blood centers in the country, and if you look at the numbers, one out of every three African-American donors is a match for a sickle cell patient. And that's huge. That's important to note, because as you mentioned, when someone's relying on blood transfusions on a regular basis, sometimes you need to get really specific with the blood that they need. We all know that there's 8 major blood types, but under that, there's a subgroup of 36 blood types, and you can really drill down and get specific. In the case of African-Americans, if you have sickle cell, which by the way, 90% of sickle cell patients are African-American, the chances are greater that someone of the same ethnicity as you is going to be a better match for you. And, you know, like I said, there's a lot of potential there. One out of every three African-American donors is a match for a sickle cell patient. That is a life-altering, life-changing possibility in that, you know, if you have sickle cell anemia, it can be debilitating. It can be painful. And if you don't get your transfusions in time, it can really have an adverse effect on your quality of life. And, you know, if you have never donated with us before, I want you to think about that. Because you could be making a difference in a child's life at Nemours or, you know, at Christiana, what have you. I mean, I hope that somebody hears this message and decides to act. Because I mean, look, if you're out there and you're perfectly healthy, you know, God has blessed you with this health, do something with that. And we're biased at the Blood Bank of Delmarva, but come see us. And it's a great way to give back to your community.
And you are part of a much larger group because blood does get moved around. We got to make sure everybody knows that, you know, no hospital is going to run out. If there's a unit somewhere nearby, you share and share alike to make sure that hospitals get what they need. You provide for these 19, but you might also help out a hospital that's outside of your range because, again, this is such a valuable commodity.
That's right, Laura. And it's a two-way street. So in the blood banking world, it's a small community, so to speak. You know, there's a blood exchange and, you know, there's a national blood supply and there's a local blood supply. If you look nationally, you know, the American Red Cross is obviously going to be a big player at the national level. And then locally, blood banks like us, we actually account for 60% of the blood collected in the U.S. And, you know, that's a significant amount. And, you know, in the way the system works is if someone has a surplus and they can share it with other blood banks, they're going to do that because, I mean, you know, lives are at stake. It's the right and the good thing to do. A good example would be about 5 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, there was a bad hurricane in Texas and they were in no position to collect blood. And yet they had several people who needed blood. And we were able to ship to Texas a number of units that they were very thankful for. And other blood banks around the country did this. We saw this happen as well to a lesser extent with Florida with a recent hurricane. And I say lesser extent because ever since the pandemic, we've been in this weird situation where the local and the national blood supplies have been pitiful at times. But those who were able, again, to help sent units to Florida. So it's just good business. You know, we're the primary supplier for 19 hospitals in Delmarva. And then, you know, you can also have somebody like a secondary supplier who, let's say for some reason, we didn't have the product they needed at that particular time. Hopefully on the secondary market, somebody would be able to provide that blood unit that they need. So the moral of the story is donate locally wherever you are. Wherever you are, you're making a difference, you know, for the local community. And it's just good for the nation as a whole to have a solid national blood supply, which, I mean, it was pretty scary at times when it got to like a half day's worth, according to the national news. I mean, that was pretty scary. So, yeah, I mean, look, not everybody's crazy about getting a needle stuck on their arm, but it's just such a worthwhile endeavor. I really encourage people to, if they haven't tried it out so far, just do it. You know, since Valentine's Day is upon us, I'll tell you a quick story about John Rigo and Crystal Collins. You know, this young couple, they've been on a number of dates, you know, donating blood, of all things, right? Well, John needed transfusions a number of years ago when he was overseas in Europe, and those transfusions saved his life. So when he started seeing Crystal, he asked her to come along with him when he was donating blood in his effort to give back. And it was something that she had never done before. And so here's two young donors that we have that have donated like 4 or 5 times at our, you know, Ocean City Convention Center blood drive. And it's a great thing. Like sometimes it just takes that person asking you.
Well, some of your greatest donors are former patients or parents of patients that, you know, their child might have needed 70 units. It's not uncommon for someone or a woman giving birth to require, you know, her whole blood supply a couple of times over in a difficult delivery. And who steps up then and says, we're going to organize blood drives to give back? The patients themselves and their families.
That's exactly right. As a matter of fact, in mid-January, just last month, the family of Mickey Patella came in and to the Christiana Donor Center, and they held a blood drive. It was their second blood drive, and they want to make it an annual event, which we're very thankful for. But Mickey Patella was a burn victim, and he needed some 35 units of blood, including 6 in one day, and as part of his long path toward recovery. And he has not donated blood himself per se, but his daughter Jillian organized the blood drive. His sons and daughters rolled up their sleeves and they donated. The extended family, you know, relatives and then neighbors and friends, they came out and they have more than doubled the amount of blood products that Mickey received in terms of, you know, giving back in these blood drives. The first one was last year at Delaware City Fire Company. This year it was at the Christiana Donor Center. And I saw a lot of familiar faces that were there last year. And you're right. Sometimes that is the catalyst that starts a little tradition like that. I could tell you, we could go on and on about like Maverick Painter's family and how they have been doing. They've had, I want to say, 4 or 5 annual blood drives for Maverick, who was born prematurely. He was the only one of triplets to survive, and it was thanks to 8 transfusions of O negative blood. And they have more than given back. I mean, probably 100-fold at this point. You know, not just with their blood drives, but also word of mouth. You know, spreading the word. You know, spreading awareness about the need for blood. I mean, it was life changing for them, and they've done nothing but give back since then.
Well, and organizations. You had the Dr. Drew Memorial Blood Drive, Charles Drew Blood Drive last summer. Is that going to be an annual event? People can decide, let's just do this and then start. I mean, obviously, WJBR, we love it.
Yeah. So Omega Psi Phi, they're a service fraternity, primarily African-American, and they held the inaugural Dr. Charles R. Drew Memorial Blood Drive in August. They called it the inaugural because they do plan on making it an annual event. And just real quick, that blood drive brought in 36 donors, 12 of which ended up being matches for local sickle cell patients. So it was just a phenomenal event. So hats off to Omega Psi Phi, the Gamma Mu Nu local chapter, for holding that event. And it was something that they took upon themselves to do as a service to the community. And I mean, we're a little biased at the Blood Bank of Delmarva, but organizing a blood drive, anybody can do it. You know, whether you want to do it at your church or your place of, you know, business. Schools are a big part of what we do, high schools and colleges, 17 being the minimum age to donate. You also have to be at least 110 pounds. That's how it happens. You know, partners in the community from all walks of life, they are integral to what we do, to our mission every day. And at the donor centers, you know, if people prefer, we have 5 donor centers that you can come to. And it, 2 things happen. People make an appointment, they go online, or they call our toll-free number and make an appointment, or we get walk-ins. There was a weird time there because of the pandemic when we weren't accepting walk-ins, but we have since gotten back to the tradition of accepting walk-ins, because in this business, beggars can't be choosers. You can't turn away people who want to donate blood. And usually we have room for you. The only time that you would ever be advised that today was not a good day is if we were slammed. And hey, that happens once in a while. If we're really busy and it's going to be an hour and a half long wait, we'll warn you. But usually that's not the case, I can assure you.
And really quickly, let's talk about who can give. 65%, you say, are eligible to give. What usually knocks you out of being able to give? And so we just save somebody some time here. But really, there's very little that will knock you out of this donor pool.
Correct. It's 62% of the U.S. population can donate. And, you know, that's the majority of the population. And there are certain medications that may preclude you from donating blood. But the easy answer there is you'd be surprised how many medications you can take and still donate blood. So don't let that scare you off. But some people are on certain medications that will, you know, zap you, so to speak, and put you on the deferral list. And when you schedule, our schedulers will ask you about that. And so that you don't book an appointment and waste your time coming in only to find out you're deferred. Sometimes travel can restrict you. If you travel to an area known for malaria, you know, parts of Africa, India, for instance, you will be deferred. Here's the good news. It used to be a year. Now it's 3 months. So that's an improvement per the FDA regulations that we have to follow. You know, some other things, some obvious ones, HIV, you know, and some other infectious diseases that we're going to test for, by the way, no matter how healthy you are, we're going to test just as a precaution. So, I mean, you also, have to be feeling healthy and well in general. No cold or flu-like symptoms, no fever. That's a deal breaker. And so if you're feeling a little under the weather, wait until you're feeling better and have been symptom-free about 2 weeks before you try to donate with us. So that's basically, in a nutshell, those who are eligible to donate blood. In general, feeling healthy and well. Don't let the medications, make you think that you're going to be an automatic deferral, because chances are you will still be able to donate. And like I said, there's the minimum age is 17. You have to be at least 110 pounds. And the last thing I'll add is always make sure it's the opposite of like when you go to LabCorp or getting your blood work done. You want to eat healthy, eat heartily, and you want to hydrate well.
You want to be juicy.
Yeah, that's going to make an optimal experience for you. It'll make the blood flow. And, that's important, because if you're donating whole blood, the rule is you cannot go longer than 15 minutes when donating whole blood. And if you have a nice flow because you're hydrated.
Juicy.
That'll get you. A lot of people are done in 4 to 6 minutes, and you can always tell when they have prepped well for their blood donation. Some of our veteran blood donors, they know what they're doing, and so they prep well for the blood donation process. If you're a little dehydrated, it'll be slow, and we'll stop the process after 15 minutes because that's the limit that we can go.
Mm-hmm. And as I said earlier, it is so quick. You're in and out. It doesn't take very long. You spend more time at the snack table than you do actually on the table. And when we register, do you have online the exclusions and travel exclusions as well on your website?
We have a frequently FAQ page that answers some of those questions, and the folks in our call center also can advise you. Like if you travel somewhere and you have a question about it, they have a list that they can look up really quickly. And that's easy to do. Just call the 1-888-8-BLOOD-8 toll-free number, 1-888-8-BLOOD-8. There's a lot of eights in there, so it's easy to remember. And the website, delmarvablood.org. There'll be some preliminary questions on there for you. And there's also something popular with our donors called Quick Pass on our website. That allows you to answer a lot of the screening questions to save you some time when you get to your appointment. You're given a code that you can show to the person when you come in and sign in for your blood donation. They'll scan that and it tells them that you've already answered a lot of the questions that they're going to ask you as part of your health screening prior to donating blood.
So you make it as easy as possible. And of course, the easy one is this Tuesday, the second annual WJBR, Your Someone's Type Blood Drive. And remind us again where it is and the times and how we register for it.
Yeah, so Valentine's Day is Tuesday, February 14th, coming up real fast. We're going to be there from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Tallyville Fire Company, which is easy to find in North Wilmington. But if you don't know, it's 3919 Concord Pike, Wilmington, Delaware. Tallyville Fire Company is a great partner with us for regular blood drives. So it was a natural fit in terms of finding a location for the second WJBR, Your Someone's Type Blood Drive, which, we're excited again to be partnering with you guys. We thank you so much. You guys are giving back to the community in a very powerful way with this.
And I'm looking forward to it. I do believe I'm one of your first on the table that day. So it's going to be.
Thank you.
It makes you feel good. You're doing good for your community. You're doing good for yourself. You get some snacks, a T-shirt. What more could one ask on Valentine's Day? But it's real easy to find out more information. You can always call Delmarva Blood Bank, the Blood Bank of Delmarva, 1-888-8-BLOOD-8. Love that. Or you can visit them online at delmarvablood.org. That's delmarvablood.org. Go to our website, WJBR. We have a link right on the homepage. All you got to do is click that sucker and it will take you immediately to the page where you can get your registration started right there. Just do that at WJBR.com because we're there as well. And we'll be there at the Tallyville Fire Station on Concord Pike on Tuesday, Valentine's Day, for our second annual WJBR Your Someone's Type Blood Drive, 10 to 6 right there. Again, get more information at our website or go to the Blood Bank of Delmarva's website at delmarvablood.org. Tony, thank you. We will see you on Tuesday.
Yes. And we're going to get your picture, Laura. So be ready.
I'll dress appropriately and be nice and juicy for you. My guest today, the communication specialist for the Blood Bank of Delmarva, Tony Prado. Thank you for coming on today.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Again, go to delmarvablood.org or our website, wjbr.com, to register for Tuesday's blood drive. I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Focus on the Delaware Valley.